This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyid al-awwaleen wa al-akhirin, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we all know, created us for worship. He says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنْسَا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create human beings and jinn except to worship me. And we know that one of the forms of worship which is shared by all creation, whether it's angels, whether it is things like bacteria, plants, birds, and animals, whether it's human beings, whether it's the jinn, the shayateen, or the jinn who are mu'mineen, one of the acts of worship which exists between all of us is dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, mentions that the angels say, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to things that we can't see, and animals and birds and all of creation that we don't communicate with, He says they praise Allah, وَلَكِنْ we don't understand تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, how they mention and praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the jinn, the believing jinn, inna sami'na qur'anan ajaba, right? We have heard an incredible Qur'an. And even Iblis, rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun, he makes dua. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him respite. And also we know the shayateen, even though for them it's not worship in the same sense of our worship, the point I'm making is that even the evil jinn and Iblis know that they have to acknowledge Allah through His remembrance. So the hadith of Sayyidina Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, who this man kept coming to him in the form of a person and trying to steal zakat from him. And finally he said, I will take you to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, if you don't take me to the Messenger of Allah, I will tell you something. And he told him about Ayatul Kursi. Whoever reads Ayatul Kursi will be protected from the shayateen, from the devils. And the next day he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him what happened, and he said, huwa sudduq, huwa sadiq, wa huwa kudhub, like he said the truth but he's a liar, like that was a shaitan. So we learn from that even shaitan knows the fada'il and the fawaid of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's you and I. So subhanallah, all creation, subhanAllah, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. And that is an evidence for the greatness of this act of worship. Such that Sayyidah Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that reason, even though this isn't a main course that we teach in our core curriculum here at Swiss, I felt it was important to go through a text that covers the major remembrances and supplications of Islam. How can you benefit from this course? Number one is you want to, of course, watch the videos, watch the vlog version. You want to take advantage of any of the multimedia opportunities that I slowly post for you. You want to try to memorize some of the supplications that you feel are very important and say them throughout the week and monitor yourself. And you can follow up with me in our live sessions and say, listen, you know, I want you to listen to me. Am I saying it correctly? And then also the lesson plans that are there for you, you can use those to teach people. And you can use those to engage people, inshallah ta'ala. So following the videos, taking advantage of all the multimedia resources, memorizing and learning and remembering for yourself. You can do it as a couple, as a family, as an MSA, as a halaqa. Number three, making sure that you utilize the lesson plans in your own constructive thought, as well as if you're teaching other people. And the number four is engaging me. So inshallah ta'ala, we're going to begin with a book called Al-Alam Al-Hayyib. Al-Alam is a word which means a sign. A flag held by an army is alam alamu al-jaysh. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alameen means signs, because everything tadullu ala wujudihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, as we discussed and continue to discuss in our aqidah track, is an evidence for the existence of Allah. Al-hayyib is yuhab, right? We say hayba. And hayyib is the one who has reverence and fear of something. Someone who the sign of reverence and fear is this book. So this book is like a flag, if you will, a sign, an indicator that someone has haybatullah, that someone has the reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their remembrance of Allah. So al-alam al-hayyib fi sharh. And sharh means an explanation. So what we learn now is there's two books that we're reading from. One is the explanation of another book. We know that sharh in shirah means to expand. Sayyidina Musa, of course, is quoted, Rabbi shrah li sadri. Allah says to Sayyidina Muhammad, alayhi salam, alam nashrah laka sadrak. So the first verse, Prophet Moses is asking Allah to give sharh of his chest, expand his chest and make things clear for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam nashrah laka sadrak, have we not expanded your chest? So sharh means to take an existing text and to expand on it, to edit it, to constructively criticize it, and then of course to know its positives as well as build on its existing lessons and so on and so forth. And then of course I will be adding for the majority of it my own explanation, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though I am completely unqualified to do so, to give me tawfiq, inshaAllah. So the writer of the book, Al-Adam Al-Hayyib, is the 9th century scholar, Imam Badruddin Al-Ayni. Imam Al-Ayni, mashaAllah, was from the great scholars of the Hanafi Madhab. He explained Sahih Al-Bukhari, Umdat Al-Qari. He explained Al-Hidayah, Al-Binaya fi Sharh Hidayah, which is a great book, of course, famous book in the Hanafi Madhab. Al-Maqasid Al-Nahwiya fi Sharh Al-Alfiyah. He explained a great book, of course, in Arabic grammar, Al-Fiyat Al-Mimatic, the Shawahid of that book, the proofs for the Arabic language. Actually, he wrote like more than 25 books, man. He was definitely G status, mashallah, an OG from the ulama. And he was born actually in southern Turkey. And because of that, he spoke many languages. He migrated eventually to Egypt and he was used there in many different ways because of his prowess in language and his brilliance. And he lived a full life. And he actually died around 9 years old. So he's born around, you know, 755, I think. And he dies around 840. You know, 844, somewhere in that area, 846, kind of in this area. He was a contemporary of Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, of course, those of us who know that, it's interesting, and others. The book that he's explaining is called Al-Kalim al-Tayyib, which was written by the great 8th century scholar Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. And the reason that I find this interesting is that if we were alive today, Imam al-Ayni would be kind of like more on the Sufi traditional side. And of course, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah would be more on, say, the Salafi side. And what's remarkable is we don't appreciate history as Sunnis, and we don't understand how we are constantly being encouraged to hate each other. And if we were to look back at our history, we'll find that scholars may have vehemently disagreed with one another, but they understood that they were brothers, right? They understood that they were sisters. They understood that they were an ummah, and an ummah doesn't always get along. So I felt that one thing we can take from this book is the idea of constructive criticism, constructive engagement, but then at the same time, met with respect, which also is key to being someone who benefits from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Shaykh, he says, فَعَيْنُ الرِّضَىٰ عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ. He said, you know, it's very rare that you can find someone who finds good in the mistakes of people, like they're able to see through that. وَلَكِنْ عَيْنُ سُخْطِ تُبْدِي لِمُسَاوَيَا. But the people who always find mistakes, like that's nothing special. that that comes from everybody. That's something that equally is shared amongst the people. And then he begins, and this is where we're going to start his explanation of the book. So he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And then he mentions, of course, how this is from the sunnah of the ulama, imtithalan, emulating the Quran and emulating the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kullu amrin dibadin la yubda'u fihi bi bismillah fahuwa ajdam wa aqta. You know, every important matter that it's not commenced with bismillah is going to be short, abtar, cut off from ajr and from blessings. So after saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah says, Alhamdulillahi wa salamun ala ibarihi alladhina astafa. He says, Alhamdulillah. Alhamd is translated as praise. And, you know, that gets the meaning there. But scholars noted some really beautiful things that I thought I would share. And it's interesting that he begins with Alhamdulillah as though to denote, like, the purpose of the book is the remembrance of Allah. And also, again, following the way of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the ulama, they said, Alhamdu huwa thana'u bil jameeli ala jihati tafdili la ala jihati al-istihza'. Meaning that Alhamd is to praise something because you recognize its blessings, to recognize its greatness, to recognize and to be in awe of it. Not from the angle of like joking around or jest, but to sincerely be overawed by something. Now, sometimes people ask, what's the difference between Alhamdu wa Shukr? Shukr in Arabic means to be thankful. Alhamd means to praise something out of awe. Min jihati ta'zim or min jihati tafdili. So many ulama, this is something very beautiful, that Alhamd is an act of cognition and faith that is expressed through speech. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Isra, verse 111, he says, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say Alhamdulillah. And that's why we find, for example, in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda waja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. Surah Al-An'am, 6th chapter of the Quran, talking about the incredible nature and awe of creation, we say Alhamd. People who enter into paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes them in Surah Al-A'raf, they will say, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا. Something incredible. Allah mentions Hamd in correlation to night and day, darkness and light. Then he mentions Alhamd here, the people of Jannah, that they were guided because Allah took them from the darkness of kufr and dunya and brought them into the light of iman and Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So the external light of the sun and the night and the day is a cause of Alhamd, and the spiritual iman and being brought into guidance, just like how the sun shines light on the earth, is also brought about by saying Alhamd. But the point is, both of them are incredible. Subhanallah. So Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihadha wa ma kunna linahtadi. Alhamdulillah to the one who guided us to this, because we could have not guided ourselves. Subhanallah. And when we talk about Alhamd, it's rooted in ma'rifah. Ma'rifah tu shay, to understand something and to understand its incredible nature. Shukr, thankfulness, is seen as something which is greater than just an expression of the tongue, but also shukr is seen as an act. And that's why in Surah Saba, verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'malu ala Dawood shukra, O Dawood and your family, perform thankfulness. So it's not restricted. Like, so thankfulness touches on all of our actions, subhanallah. All of the khair that we can do on our limbs, through our speech, is a form of shukr, subhanallah. Of course, also the idea that shukr muqabalat ni'mah. So most scholars would say that shukr is in response to recognizing something good. So shukr is based on ma'rifatu ni'mah, understanding ni'mah. Alhamd is based on ma'rifatu ta'zeem. Hamd is rooted in knowing something's incredible. Subhanallah. So, yani, it's very beautiful if you think about it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan, right? To be thankful to Allah who subhanahu wa ta'ala fills the scales. We're going to stop here, inshallah. Next time we'll pick it up and start to read from the verses that Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and Imam Al-Aini explain. Because these verses of Qur'an that he mentions before going into the hadith about dua and dhikr show us the etiquette of dua and dhikr, show us the importance of dua and dhikr, show us the general universal application of dua and dhikr, whether in good times or bad times, whether in a group or whether in alone, as well as the proper etiquette and adab when we remember Allah and supplicate Allah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.